Lana Makara, you've been a TV host. You are an editor and a book coach. You've been writing fiction for 30 years. You've been teaching fiction for 20 years. What does your life look like right now as a writer?
Well, it's very full. As a ghostwriter, I'm constantly working on client work, but I'm also trying to write my own stuff. So that keeps me really busy.
What's this TV host? You were a TV host for what?
I was a TV host for 3 seasons. I started my life, I reinvented myself at age 52, and I started actually a friend of mine bought a TV station. And she said, "Do you want your own show?" And I'm like, yes." And then she said, "What are you going to talk about?" I'm like, "I don't know." And so, yeah. So anyway, I had just gone through that, and I thought, you know, I'm going to get women in here, women over 50, and we're going to talk about life changes in midlife and how do you deal with that? How do you start over at that age when everybody says you should be slowing down and you're gearing up instead of that? And so that was how that happened. I called it Now It's My Turn for the 50 plus woman, and I was there for 3 seasons.
That's a lot like having a podcast, I think. What made you decide to stop?
Well, it was costing me a lot to be there, and it wasn't bringing me any income. And I finally hit that wall. I hit that wall of expense, you know, ROI and all of that. And I realized that I was expending so much energy because it was video, it was TV, in preparing the room and having the lighting and all the stuff that I had to do. Even though I had a virtual assistant working with me, it was still too much for me. And so I said, well, you know, 3 seasons, I did it. And I made a lot of really good connections for my guests. But it's time for me to step away. And so that's what I did. It was just a business decision, really, because I loved it. I love the show.
Was there any interaction between being TV host and successful author? Like, was there any crossover there in those two businesses?
Not too much. And at the time, I wasn't writing my own material because I was in that between stage when I got a divorce at 52, couldn't write at all. I had 27 published books at that point, but I couldn't write. I was just in that space of, you know, upheaval. And when I did the show was before I started writing my own stuff again, which thankfully I am now.
So you had 27 published books at the time. How many published books do you have now?
43.
Wow. Okay. What got you started as a writer?
I was a rabid reader. And so all through high school, all through college, I loved to read. I was like a reading aficionado, especially with mysteries. And I never realized that I could write because I hated academic papers. They were just, to me, soul killing. You know, it was I did well, but I hated them. And after I got out of college, just did a lark. I mean, I just saw this ad and I answered the ad and I joined this writer's course and I found out about storytelling and fiction and I was enchanted when I found out I could write the type of books that I love to read. And so that got me started. I was 24 years old when I started writing my first novel.
What was the first, like, very successful moment for you as an early author? Like, what's something that happened that, or like, what was like the tipping point for you, where like, where you kind of hit a moment of like peak success, like early on?
There were two, actually. One of them was when my first book came out, I was reader's favorite that year in the publishing company. They had a little form you fill out in the back of the book, and I won that little voting thing they had going on. And that was a big boost to me. And then in 2001, I won the National Christie Award for my historical novel, Reaping the Whirlwind. And that book and that award changed my entire career.
How
Now,
so? I've always wondered about the relationship between being an author, because I've never won any awards. My first success was like breaking into like a network of schools that wanted me to come and visit their schools. So like for me, it's always been speaking to selling books. I've never even tried to, well, I've tried once to win an award and I failed. And then I was like, who cares about awards? But I've always wondered what what the impact is of winning an award and what kind of award matters and that sort of thing.
Yes, that's a really great question because we see a lot of peer voting, you know, where you tell all your friends to vote for you. And that's not what this was. The Christie Award is a publisher's award where all of the publishers in the country submit their best work for that year. And then the Christie Committee, they select 10 judges from the industry, agents, editors, publishers. They are on the Christie Committee by invitation and they vote. And they don't know each other, you know. So when my publisher contacted me and said, "Do you want to submit your book to the Christie Award? We'd like to submit it." I said, "What is it?" You know, I didn't even know. And then it didn't cost me anything, but I had to send them 10 of my books, you know, my author books. So winning that award was a prestigious thing because it was publisher driven. It wasn't author driven.
Got it.
And so that credibility, when I won the award, first of all, you know, you could have scraped me off the floor with a putty knife. I'm so shocked that I won. But it did not increase my book sales. And that's something I wanted to
Interesting.
really bring out because you were talking about book sales. And I was shocked that my Christie winner didn't do better. I had other books that did much better than my Christie Award winner. What it did for me was it gave me an in into the publishing industry as an editor, as a book coach. My publisher hired me at that point as
I
an
see.
editor and a book coach. So my credibility as a quality writer came up
Yep.
and gave me other opportunities more than selling books.
Yep.
So what do you want to do with your life? You know, for me, being a writer and being in the publishing industry was great. I loved it. I love helping other authors be successful. And so that, you know, that filled me up in my own purpose. And I made money on a much more regular basis than just
Yeah.
selling books. And so that really taught me, you know, since 2001, I've always had these two tracks going. One is helping authors be successful. The other one is selling books. There's two separate careers going on there.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're always seeking, as an author, you're always seeking three things. You obviously want to make money, and most authors think that they're going to make money in book sales. And I did make a living off of book sales. It's very hard to do. You want to grow an audience, which is also incredibly difficult. And you want to get, I guess, for lack of a better word, clout. You want to do things that are going to give you credibility and clout. And
Yes.
obviously, there's interaction between those things. Like the bigger audience you have, the more money you'll make. The bigger audience you have, the more clout you have. But also, like, clout can open doors for you to get audience, which it did for me. Like, once I was traditionally published by Simon and Schuster, that opened up, and that happened to me after already being a kids book author for 6 years. I was a touring kids book author for 6 years before Simon and Schuster picked up one of my books. But getting that little, like, oh, published by Simon and Schuster, no longer just self-published author, meant that a lot of schools were open to having me come and speak that were previously like would have turned me away. Which opened the door for audience for me, which opened the door for sales for me. So, like, you know, you're always
Yes.
seeking those three things of clout, or credibility, audience, and dollars. And
Yeah.
I think, you know, you got to pursue dollars, like an audience more than clout. But it certainly does help to get these little markers of clout.
One thing I like to point out, reflecting back to you, is that it is a step-by-step process. There is no one event, no one award, no one score that does it for you. You need to be thinking of this as a long game, as a career. How much do you want to of your time and energy to go into this? Because you know, just to reflect back what you said, you were out there touring schools, putting yourself out there, doing the traveling, putting in the muscle, schmoozing it up with people. I mean, you were out there working your job.
Yeah.
It was way more than just getting the book done.
That's right. 100%. Yeah, there's like the job of writer and there's the job of author, and they're a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're actually very different. They're two completely different jobs, writer and author.
Right.
We want to talk today about a strategy, or just a thing to think through as you're be as you're writing a book, as you're becoming an author. I asked you what's something that you think that every author needs to be thinking about, needs to be doing. And you said that they need to write something that they could teach from. So what do you mean by that?
I found that teaching is one of the best ways to put yourself out there in the marketplace as someone with what you said, clout, someone with expertise, someone with a presence. So what I do when I'm either ghostwriting for someone, when I'm doing my own work, of course, or when I'm teaching, I teach a fiction course. And one of the first classes that we talk about is how do you personally get into the book? And for a business book, that's usually pretty easy because the topic is related to what your expertise is, and you can bounce that back and forth, and usually have a story, around it. But when you're writing fiction, you need to dig a little deeper. What about you can you inject into the book so that when it comes time for you to speak, you have something that you can say, well, I wrote this book because I had this experience one time. And tell a story about your experience. And then I put it into the book, but it's fiction. It's not about that story. The people are different, the place is different, but I really did experience that. And I learned some things and I wanted to share it in story form. So that's kind of a formula for what you tell an event planner or podcast host or whoever you're talking to. Because when you are writing fiction, especially, you have to give them a reason to have you come in. And so, when your topic is related to something about the podcast, something about the event, it's easier for them to invite you. But then, when you get up there, you don't talk a whole lot about the book. You mention it a little bit, but then at the end, you say, "Oh yeah, don't forget, I have this book. Here it is." Go over there and pick it up. You'll get so much more when you read the story than what you just got from me. So you're actually selling yourself and you're teaching from your life experience, which makes it real and makes it valuable. You're not snowing anybody. You're not trying to get it over on anybody. You're sharing your life lessons with people in a way that will help them. So you have an altruistic giving mindset. You put that into the book. And then you can sell a lot of books that way. Because not only do people want, they're curious about the story, but they also have bonded to you. There's something in them that connects to you and your experience. And so it becomes much more meaningful. The book becomes more meaningful than just, a fun read.
Why do you think that it is like critically important that an author make sure that they're writing something that they can teach from versus I've talked to plenty of aspiring authors that they don't ever want to get up in front of anybody.
Just to be clear, in college, I was required to take speech as a part of my course. And I was so shy that I would not sleep the night before if I had to give a speech. So I've been there. Absolutely. I've been there.
I would say
And
for some aspiring authors I've talked to, it's shyness. And for many existing authors I've talked to, it's more like, I don't have time for this. Like, and I don't want to make time for this.
Yes. Yes, I totally understand that. I raised a large family and I went through that too. But it all goes back to what is your purpose for writing? Is your purpose for writing just to like be cathartic and get out, something that you want to get on paper and see it published and have it for your family's heritage? Or are you writing to make a difference in people's lives and be a contribution? So, it doesn't matter which one you want to do. Both of them are perfectly fine. I don't see any problem if you just want to write for your own benefit and for your family to have something that you wrote. That's great. People do that all the time. If you have a bigger vision for more influence and more contribution, then, they're two sides of the same coin. You can't do the one and expect to be successful without the other. And if you're shy about public speaking and you really feel like you can't do it, then get a coach. There's a lot of speaking coaches out there. And I recommend it because usually a speaking coach will then also be able to point you in a direction to get some events to do. The way I overcame it, I was a pastor's wife. I had to. I would be, there was nobody else to do it. I had to do it. And then we started traveling. Because he was a preaching, on the road, going on the road. And I would walk into a church and they would meet me at the door and say, "Oh yeah, we're having a ladies' meeting tonight. You're going to be teaching, and I've got 2 hours. Get ready." And eventually, I just got over it. I had notes with me all the time. And, if I had to get up there, I just pull out my notes and I'd go to it. It wasn't a big deal. And I think just doing it. Just get in front of people. Go to your public library. See where you can volunteer for some of these, community events. If you have something that you're talking about, they might have an event about it. Or, go on some podcasts or whatever you have to do to get yourself out there in a small way. Or
Yeah,
start a YouTube channel. You could do
you
that.
said that from teaching you can sell a lot of books. What do you mean by that? And like, how do you make sure that you're selling a lot of books from teaching?
Oh wow. When I'm teaching, I enroll my students to become ambassadors for my book.
Ah, what does that look like?
So it's an agreement. If you would like to have my coaching or my checklist for how to do a successful book launch, all I ask, you don't have to pay me money. All I ask is that when you see my book out there, you share it. You tell your friends, you get the word out there. Do you believe in my book, everybody? Yes. Everybody raises their hand. Okay, well, write your name, write your Facebook and Instagram on this paper. I'm going to pass it around and I'll tag you. And all you have to do is say okay and let it go out. And that's all I'm asking.
And where do
And
you
I think
teach?
I have an online course
Ah,
called
okay. And
How to
so
Write
in your
Copy.
online course, you're getting all these students to raise their hand and like
Yes.
sort of like pledge to be advocates of your book.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Like what exactly do you say to them?
Have a Facebook group called Lana's Launch Team. And so I tell them, go over and join the launch team. It's free. This is what we need. I just need you to share. I just need to get the word out. And if you know of anybody that has a podcast that I would be good on, I'd appreciate an introduction. And they're happy to do it. Why? Because I'm happy to help them. If they
Yeah.
have a question, if they have a need, when their book comes out, I'm their biggest fan. I'm their biggest cheerleader. And so we have a
It's like a give
heart-based,
and take relationship.
give and take, heart-based relationship. And boy, this doesn't that go far?
Yeah.
That is so awesome. And it makes me feel good. It makes them feel good. And so we just build a lot of positive energy about helping each other. And then over in the launch team, I invite them to post their stuff to the, into the group and share it out. I share for them, they share for me. And so building a relationship, and I've heard that people say this for a long time, you need to build real relationships with people. And in that intervening time where I wasn't writing my own stuff, I was making friends. And I didn't even realize at the time what was happening. But because I wasn't selling anything, I was just having my TV show and ghostwriting. That gave me an opportunity to actually get to know some people without having the transactional piece in there. Now, that doesn't mean that's the way it stayed, but at least I had a foundation of people that knew me without a transaction. And then when
Yeah.
it time, you know, then I began to spread out and enroll more people. And I actually launched my course in order to do this. I launched my course back in October when my book launch was happening in June. So I would have time to get the course going, market it, put myself back out there as a fiction teacher. So then I could enroll my students to help me and also have more market share because I'd already been out there with marketing about fiction before the book ever came out. So it's kind of a long game. It's not
Yeah.
instant.
Okay, this is a very interesting launch strategy, and I like it because as we were talking in our pre-interview, I am focusing right now on trying to build an epic launch strategy guide. So just so that I'm clear on how you did this, you gave a bunch like you got a bunch of people to enroll in a course. How many students total have you taught?
With I do master classes for free, and I think there's over 100 that have taken the different master classes, and then from there I enroll them in the full-blown 8-module How to Write Fiction course, and
Got
I've
it.
had six students in the course, and they all finished, so I have six solid cheerleaders there. And then I went into all my author groups. I had an author group with a publisher. I had an author group with speaking Blue Talks. I'm in Blue Talks and I spoke there. They have an author group. I went in there. And so I pulled in from a wider market, a wider group of people, and invited them over to the launch group in Facebook. So I had my students over there, fellow authors over there, and my launch team is 35.
Okay, so it's a
Very,
35 person launch team.
yes, very engaged people, people that I know over there. So that, you know, that's a core, that's a seed. And in my mind, when my next book comes out early next year, then I'll go back to that group and we will get bigger and we'll get stronger and we're going to keep on going.
And what exactly are you getting these book advocates of yours to do for you? I'm guessing they're posting on social media. Is there anything else that they're doing?
Making introductions for podcasts.
Okay.
That's one of the main things that I want is introductions to podcast hosts.
How
And
often do you post in the Facebook group?
during the launch, previous to the launch and during the launch, I was posting every day.
Yeah.
After the launch, I'm there maybe once a week.
Okay.
So I made up all these memes. I made up these picture memes, which were quotes from the book. And then I took them to Fiverr, had them made over there. And so I had 11 of those memes and I posted them in the group for them to use. I also had my virtual assistant tag everybody in the group, 35 tags on each meme that I posted. So it would come up in their Facebook notification, you've been tagged. So they can go over and okay it. And that would be easier for them.
Got
And
it.
then the same thing on Instagram. Instagram is book heaven. But
Okay.
I did not have as big a presence on Instagram. I've got 30,000 people on Facebook. I only have a couple hundred on Instagram. So I wasn't able to do that as much myself, but I hired a blog tour company for Instagram to get me out there on Instagram. And I also gave them all the memes that I
Okay.
had made so that I paid for help on Instagram because I knew how important Instagram is.
I think this works really well for a career author. How could you see this working out for somebody that's only doing one book?
Oh, wow, that's much more difficult.
I mean, I'm definitely going to steal this strategy and try to apply it to myself because I'm somebody that's going to come out with at least one book every year, probably for the rest of my life. That's not your average person. But so for me, the fact that I've not tried to put together any sort of launch team. I just love the give and take nature of it. It's like, and give and take's probably not the right, I don't like the phrase give and take. I think that we should be give like get like massively givers. Like we should just give and give and give. But so maybe give and ask relationships probably better. But so the idea that I would teach something, because I already teach things like I've done art of storytelling presentations and character building presentations and stuff that's helpful for teachers. Like, here's ways that you can get kids more engaged in literacy in your classroom. Like, I've done those kinds of things, and I've never thought to treat them like a funnel that gets me book like advocates. For me, it's always been about trying to build relationships that where they would invite me to come to their school and speak. But there's no reason why I shouldn't have been trying to also bring them into a private Facebook group where I'm asking them to help promote my work.
Yes, and they would love to.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing, is I'm kind of squeamish about asking for that.
Yeah, so, but at the same time, to recognize your own value, that you're helping them tremendously. They would love to do a little something. A click isn't much to ask, you know?
Yeah.
It's really not that much to ask. So, the response that I've had has been very positive all the way through. And people even have instant messaged me and thanked me for all the help that I give to them. And I'm just doing the same thing. I'm just sharing. I'm just, being out there in the community and trying to work together with everyone. We're all in this together.
Yeah, because you can always be follow the way you can keep it a give relationship is you can always be following up with the people that are in your group, asking them how it's going with them applying whatever it was that they came to your thing to that you taught.
Yes.
And that's how it can feel like you're continuing to enrich them. And you because you actually would be continuing to enrich that the like them.
I forgot to mention that in the group, I posted all my resources for my launch and I invited them to use my resources. So I posted the blog company, the blog tour company I use. I said, this is a good blog tour company. I posted a list. I asked my virtual assistant to make a list of review companies that would you could submit to get your book reviewed. And I posted that list directly into the group so they could download it and look through to see if any of them matched their market that they could use. So I loaded my Facebook group with resources that were actionable for them, as long as we matched our markets and so forth. But even if we didn't, it gave them a launch pad to begin to do their own research. So that was really my give in the
Yeah.
group on the class.
Which makes me realize there's actually a fourth domain to what I was saying earlier about there's clout, audience, and money. There's also community, like a community of advocates of your work. And you should be constantly building that as an author. And so I've not done a good job with this. Like, I've been so focused on audience, clout, and money, and so unfocused on community building, which is just not good.
Well, maybe that's why you're in this space right now to put this list together of things to do, because
Yeah.
it's easy to do it. You are already engaged, and all you have to do is speak it, and it will be created in that moment when you say, "I'm creating a community," and everybody's going to go, "Yes, I'm in."
Yeah.
And there you go. You're ready. You're done.
I think there's a level of massive imposter syndrome there too, because when I think about I'm creating a community, it's like, okay, I've got, 3,000 people that I'm friends with on Facebook. If I say I'm creating a community, 1% of them are going to take an interest. But 1% is the number that you just said so proudly that you have. You said you have 35 people that are like diehard
Yes.
fans. And you've been at this for decades.
Yes.
So that's a number I should be proud of if I can get 35 people to be real advocates of my work.
Absolutely. And then it will grow. It will grow from there. So, yeah. Don't underestimate the value of someone else's sphere of influence. Because when you tap into someone else's sphere of influence, you could be tapping into 100,000 people. You don't know how big it would go. And one vein opens up where they get an opportunity, and that will come back, flowing back to you because they're in your community. So don't limit yourself by the numbers. That was one of the traps I fell into at the beginning. Oh, I've only got 10, I've only got 15. You don't know who's in your group. That
When
one
you
person? Yes.
you've got these people in your group, What are the main ways that you try to, like you said, tap into them? And what are the main ways that you invest in them? So, like you mentioned, making sure that they are introducing you to any podcast opportunities. And then you mentioned making sure that they're promoting your work on their social media using assets that you're giving them.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you're doing to make sure that you're tapping into them? And then what are the main ways that you're investing in them?
Tapping into them, I have done several master classes or interviews with people in my group to help them. One of the people had a book launch recently. I just interviewed her about the book, put it up on my thing. The thing is, just like we had a conversation before this recording, I had a conversation with her before the recording, and we were sharing our resources in our conversation.
Sorry, Lana, I had an audio issue. Could you just re-say what you were saying?
Sure. In the interview that I did with this gal, and she's really accomplished writer, we talked about resources. We talked about how we market our books. We talked about how we publish, who we publish with, and so forth. And so I was promoting her book, but the fact that we were on Zoom together gave us a chance to share and talk to each other. And we both got value from that conversation. And so don't underestimate the value of just interacting with people.
Yeah.
When you're in a situation where you're helping them out, they might, say, "Oh yeah, now that you mention that, I know this guy over here who could be a really good contact for you." And so just let things happen, in that way. It doesn't have to be all orchestrated. And I'm a big believer in intention. I have an intention that I'm going to be attracting a lot of introductions from the people that I are in my community, and my intention brings me those introductions.
Yeah.
And it is more of a subtext than it is an overt asking a lot of times, but it still happens. It's just like referrals. If you set your customers up to be thinking about other people who could use your services by, your the way you frame your opening with them when you first start talking to them, they will be more likely to send you a referral later because you
That's right.
set up the relationship in that way. And it's a lot, the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Lana, this has been such a great conversation. And there's so much more I wanted to talk to you about that we didn't even get into. Like, I had in my notes, you had a stalker. And so you wrote about having a stalker, and we never even talked about it. But for listeners that would like to get to know you better or check you out online, where should they go?
LanaMacara.com.
Awesome. Great. And listeners, if you're getting value out of this podcast, would you please go check out my YouTube channel, Writing Better with Timmy Bauer? I'm going to be posting my content series about building this strategy guide. And also, if you want to go to monthlykidsbook.com, that's where I give you a free kids book in your inbox every single month. They're the books that my kids book production company, Dinosaur House, makes. Give me your burner email. I don't care. Go to monthlykidsbook.com to get that. Thank you for listening to another episode of Writing Better. And Lana, thank you so much for being a guest on the show.